Welcome back to Your Career Is a Choice or Chance, the MDocs podcast that's going deep into guided disruption this season. I am delighted to be joined today by Lilac Ilan. Lilac leads global business development for AI operations in telco. So Lilac, thank you for making the time and being here with us.
Hi, thank you for having me. I've been doing those kind of talks for a while, so it's good to have a formal one that's going to get the stage it deserves, Spotify now.
So talk to us a little bit about what your title is, what your day job looks like, what it actually means.
I'm a business development manager for generative AI in telco. And really what it means is that I work with telecommunication companies around the world that educate and evangelize the power of AI to the telco industry. There is so much impact from trying to change the mode of operation, create new kind of operating methods that are AI powered, to generating totally new revenue streams that are powered by AI and Gen AI. So really that opportunity of benefiting from AI is at what I am talking to telco any day and every day. Part of that is bringing ecosystems and partners to the telco that can help them accelerate their time to value and help them benefit from either that cost saving and new mode of operation or generate that new stream of revenue. So that's what I do. I enjoy working with the telcos and the partners like yourself, like MDocs.
It's not accidental that you ended up in this role at this time. You've been in this domain and the telecom industry for some time, right? Can you maybe give us a little background about where you came from and how you got here, how you landed in the Gen AI space at what I would think is the perfect time, right? So,
how'd you get to that perfect place at the right time?
Exactly.
So yes, I came to NVIDIA 2 years ago. Prior to that, I was with AT&T for 17 years. And prior to that, I was at the Federal Reserve Bank. So back then it was data analytics, big data that we had to build models to forecast interest. It was the time where you put a query, you go over it to the night and then come back in the morning and get one answer to put into the model.
No LLM at the time, that's for sure.
Yeah. No LLM, no GPUs, all CPUs on-prem. That was my first endeavor into data analytics. I have to say, I came to the Federal Reserve Bank from the Israeli government. I used to work for the Israeli government. I knew nothing about macroeconomics in the US, except for what you read in textbook, right? I knew nothing about interest rate models, but here's what I did know. I did know that, you know, I have the willingness to embrace that unknown and kind of learn with people around me. And I had amazing teachers that taught me how to do that. So after the Federal Reserve Bank, I had an amazing opportunity to work for AT&T, Bell South. It was the original Bell South, and pricing and strategy for telco. Now, coming from the macroeconomic group, I knew nothing about telco, except for I can make a call. But, you know, I didn't know a whole lot. But again, I had the background of analytics, and then combining it with pricing and strategy was a natural fit. I learned a lot. And some of the people that taught me then are still in my life and working with me today. So that's a big one, right? That's the power of an interpersonal partnership. We're going to talk a lot about partnership. That's kind of like the foundation. But you get those interpersonal partnership that helps you. And then came another curveball in 2012, the beginning of AI, but it wasn't called AI. It's called big data, right? So they asked me, AT&T said, hey, you know analytic, you worked on models. Do you want to take this new role for monetization of data and standing up what's called chief data officer today, the CDO? I knew nothing about it. I don't know that a whole lot of people knew what Hadoop is, what's big data. But you go there, you say yes, you get those butterflies in your tummy that you don't know anything. But you get out of there, you whiteboard, and then you surround yourself with new partners that can teach you and build this with you. So I built this AI at AT&T. I then had another opportunity to work in IoT and build analytics for IoT. From then on, started 5G, and then they asked me to build ecosystems of partners around 5G and hyperscalers and work with them. So how can telco benefit from that partnership? So 17 years at AT&T, I had analytics. I knew how to build partnership. I knew how to surround myself and be taught with other good people. And then came this opportunity with NVIDIA. to go help telco benefit from AI. So I felt that's the right time, right choice.
And you knew a little something at that point to move over to NVIDIA. So a little background on the ecosystem.
Exactly. And remember, we talked about, I think I mentioned to you, that partnership with people, right? That internal ecosystem that you build around yourself. So I had people that worked for NVIDIA that you knew then you to advocate for me as well. So that also helped with that transition. So I'll say for me to get, you know, since the title of this podcast is Your Career, I'll say for me, the lessons of career is that growth comes from learning from discomfort and saying yes to challenges, but more importantly, surrounding yourself with this partners and trusted people that can teach you and you can teach them, and together you grow.
I think to your point, we see headlines from unnamed companies talking about how they're no longer hiring software engineers, or they plan to not be hiring any kind of engineering talent in the next 6 months or longer because generative AI capabilities are getting to a point where they're mature enough. I think this morning there was an announcement about a meeting with a major Gen AI player and government officials talking about how they've reached a certain level of capability, agentic skills, right, that is now going to be impacting the professional world, right? And so I think to your comment, you're certainly more than buzz, right? You're absolutely right about that. I think we're already seeing that it's a meaningful change, right, for our customers, for industries in general, not just us, right? So 100% agree with you.
You need to evaluate it to see that the results that you're getting is correct. You then go to the guardrails. Guardrails is the security and making sure that what you're getting in isn't prompt, or are you getting out of the model as something of a content that you agree with it. Then you deploy the model, inference the model, but what you created at that time of deploying the model is a living, breathing creature. It has to constantly be updated. There's going to be more data that you're going to collect. And then you're going to train it back again. And then you customize the model and you put new guardrails. So that flywheel is a constant iteration. And those agents that will benefit from each flywheel will have to get updated constantly, right? So now let's go back to partnership. If you look at the NVIDIA ecosystem, right? So NVIDIA is a big ecosystem. Partnership is our DNA. For us, we accelerate the whole pipeline, the whole flywheel. That's our big mission. Our mission is an ecosystem, a building partnership and ecosystem that accelerate that whole pipeline for the enterprises. Not just one element, the whole of it. Let's take a good example. At CES earlier this month, Jensen announced blueprints. We announced a whole lot of blueprints for agents. Our partners, our ecosystem can take that, develop them, use that flywheel, and provide end solution to the enterprises. So the key of it is that we're making it open source. It's easy to consume. So you want to get those partnership going such that you will have easier delivery to the enterprise. They could see the value from the Gen AI and the adoption will be faster. If I take you earlier to your comment, we're seeing some seeding enterprise, but is it taking on this year, 2025, with agentic AI, with more blueprint and more developers coming into that space? You will see it. We're already seeing a lot of acceleration in production. It's no longer the year of proof of concepts.
Yep. And I think I'll echo what you said with a little different flavor, which is that from our perspective, we've seen, as platform ecosystems have evolved over the last 20 years, right? I think this is certainly the most collaborative feeling that I've seen in this journey, right? We've seen many more players touching the same, I don't know the right analogy, right? How do you keep moving at the speed that the technology is changing? How do you make sure these partnerships continue to evolve? The tech is changing so fast. One day the focus is here. The next day the focus is here. Sometimes they're logical evolution. Sometimes they're completely skip functions. So like, how do you make sure the partnerships evolve? How do you make sure these partnerships continue to grow, especially in the AI space?
So let's take a good example here. If you look at 2022, the late 2022 when OpenAI came to market, 2022, 2023, but it's like late 2022 because it was after iGens, maybe early
2022. Yep.
Early then when OpenAI was announced, it was like one big model. And if you look today at GitHub, how many large language model will you find? Hundreds, right? Hundreds. There's a catalog of those models and they will continue to evolve. They're now video-based and we just announced Cosmos, which is the right physical AI. So we started with those models. We are now in the era of agentic AI and growing into physical AI with robotics. The world of AI will evolve. We're just seeing physical AI there. I'm sure there will be a next level. If there will be, one thing I'll say is make sure you're open, agile, and betting on future adjusted company, right? So if you're saying, look, I'm going with a partner that's very rigid and working with one LLM and just that, you don't know how you can benefit from other modality, a lower price per token. So make sure, to your point, how you evolve with that, make sure you're not just tying yourself to one solution. A partner that can give you a platform that can adjust very quickly. We talked about NIMS, you mentioned that, right? NIMS gives you that ability to say, hey, the model of today is Llama 3, perhaps 70p. Tomorrow you want to change it to Llama size because that's what's going to come up. Then how do you yank that model, replace it very quickly? There's a seamless impact to my production. That's the reality. Models will come, models will go. There is going to be a new iteration that will push the limit. And you need to make sure that it's going to be a partner that you choose to will make sure that they can adjust those models and give you the most seamless experience as you're moving into that next generation. Remember, that flywheel needs to be intact and grow as new model comes in. I'm going to constantly get you back to that flywheel. That flywheel cannot break. It should be intact and seamless as those part is the future and technology advance. Let's take another example, right? This concept of AI factories. Eddie and I are working on those concepts. That's a really good example. In the current world, when enterprises needs capacity for compute, they usually knock on the very obvious doors. They knock on the hyperscalers and the CSP. But there are some markets where the capacity of accelerated compute is not available. And all of a sudden, you're seeing good examples of new player in the markets, and some of them are public, right? That are AI factory that are providing that accelerated compute needs to those markets. So look at example that we have done with Telenor, which are now offering an AI factory to their enterprise and government markets. Look at Swisscom that announced there are 14 telcos around the world. So all of a sudden, you're seeing new players in this industry, new business model that never existed before, which means to the enterprise, there is a new partner that they didn't think of it this way. So telcos are not necessarily were the capacity and compute power provider in the market. And all of a sudden, this had changed. They are now a partner of compute provider. So that's, again, you'll see new partnership coming up. And that's benefit both for the telcos because we're wearing the our telco head for him. But for the enterprise, they now have other options through that to get compute in the market. And that leads again in another flywheel where if there are players in demand in the market, I'm sure other competitors will come in and they want to get that demand. So that's an advancement, right?
I think we covered a lot of good ground. And maybe I'd ask if you can share a tip with our audience, right? Is there something that you would tell, given all your experience and the evolution of where things have landed so far today, you know, what would you tell organizations that want to build partnerships in the Gen AI space that maybe aren't so deeply invested today? Like they're not currently partnered with NVIDIA and playing in the game. What would you tell them?
We are the existing partnership today. Your partnership needs to be your very natural DNA partner of choice. There is this world of embedded AI, and this is where I was headed. There is a world of embedded AI, meaning there are platforms that every enterprise is servicing today, the SAP, the Salesforce.com, the Amdocs platform, ServiceNow. Those are by default partnership that exists today. And those partners are actively doing embedded AI in their platform of record. They're embedding AI, generative AI, in a way that benefiting from them to the enterprise is nothing but a click of a button. They don't need to know how to customize a model. Which model do I start? I don't care about the data. It's all done for me. And all I see is the immediate value proposition, right? The key value of partnership is already done there, right? You already established trust. It's a win-win situation, right? Those partnerships are established. You don't need to build them from scratch. My first tip is go talk to them. Go see what you can immediately extract.
Take advantage of the existing value chains and all these things that are everyone's already done the hard work to build. And it's a good answer.
If you remember, to get partnership going on, especially in the world of telecommunications and companies that are much more regulated, right? To bring another partner to your home, it's hard. Yet alone to put some stranger in your house, right? It's like, okay, let me make sure they're not stranger dangers. Stranger danger. You're not stranger danger. And they know that you're a friend, then go. Like, we build our community to progress us in our career. I'll say, go tap to your community that it can progress you in your enterprise value proposition into Gen AI. That was the one. Then there is another mode of operation. Another mode of operation in AI is where you are asking new partners to come and build a bespoke solution for you. No telco has a built-in AI solution for their network, and they will not let anyone touch that data, right? It's like, hey, I'm not going to give it to ServiceNow to take all my network data in the cloud. It's very on-prem. Most of that is then finding partners that can take your data, build that flywheel for you, build those agents. Those are partnerships that you want to do and get a platform that helps you accelerate that AI's view. But more importantly, it could be that partner that connects that embedded world with that bespoke world, right? Let's take a good example. If I have an agent that is on Amdocs on billing and care, and I have an agent that someone built for me, someone else, I built it for myself, for network, I want those agents to talk to each other. It's like teams. You want those to work very cohesively together. Your AI agents are your employees, and you need to make sure that those teams of employees working together. So make sure that your partnership allows you to do that and see across all of it. And I'll say my last tip. My last tip will be go educate yourself on the value of AI. You cannot sit aside. Come help, ask for help just for the education. We offer free classes. We offer webinars. We can come talk to anyone who just wants to learn about the power of AI, quantify it, and start. It's that easy. Even taking away some of the redundant work that you're doing every day, it's simplified. So I could do things much faster. I'll give you a good example. I need to send executive documents. Like, oh my gosh. By the time I'll make sure with my poor English that it's all has the right then versus then, and I'm making no mistakes, like, okay, but I can actually put it in an AI to grammatically fix it instead of me putting five times reading it. It saves me an hour that I could do something else instead, which, much more beneficial.
I think, at least today, what I see and what I think most people see, and to your comment, it's a way to help free up 20 or 30% of our day.
Andy Marcus, you know Andy, right? Andy is the chief data officer at AT&T, and he had a blog about it. And I hope I'm not doing this justice to what he was saying, but his team was using AI for coding. Instead of them debugging, they're now actually the same high quality talent is now used to innovate and come up with better ideas. Innovation is what makes growth, right? Not the debugging of the code constantly. So it is if now I'm going to put back my economist hat, right? How do you get growth? Growth actually comes from technology. This is definitely a growth vehicle. We made a full circle. I'm back into my...
I'm impressed. I know. We came right back. I'm impressed. Well, first, I want to say thank you for making the time and joining us. I think it added, even for me, when you and I have worked together a fair amount in the last year, it added some interesting insights on the partnership evolution, right? I love the flywheel example or articulation of value in partnerships, right? Super interesting. I'm going to try to use it in my next discussion.
Yes, another thing that if you look at our performance, right, it's when the partnership and the ecosystem is strong. When you're up, then others are up with you. It's not, but you're, when you're winning, everyone wins with you as well.
Thank you for joining us today for Choice or Chance. I'm Mike McDade. I am delighted to be joined today by Lilac Milan, the head of global business development for AI operations in telco at NVIDIA. Lilac, thank you for joining us. Live amazing.